Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, the go-home show ahead of Money in the Bank. And best of all, Michael Sidgwick, fans are back.
You know, I'm very consistent and unbiased. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm going to have to do the same thing that I do ahead of every single AEW preview and review. And that is say, I'm still terrified by the prospect of all of these fans coming back with the Delta variant surging and rates and transmissibility and all this stuff skyrocketing. But hey, there's nothing I can do about it but watch these shows. And on an objective level, even WWE shows are going to be significantly better with fans in attendance. And this is legitimately the first episode of SmackDown I've really highly anticipated, not with any kind of hope of some fundamental creative change or any like blow away awesome out of this world quality, but just because of a sense of momentousness. They're probably not going to break the wheel. They're probably going to bring one or two faces back and they'll get a pop and they'll probably be normalized in some rubbish feud or other in 3 or 4 weeks' time. But this weekend is going to be very good at a minimum. And there are people who'll go, that's WWE, how can that be? Like WrestleMania was class. Like WrestleMania, yeah, exactly. Particularly night one, it was class. The sheer novelty will haul this show over the line. So yeah, I can't wait. Well, I can wait, but I'm actually going to turn on the thing that I watch WWE shows on with a sense of actual, not existential dread. So that's good.
Yeah, exactly. And we could get an, let's just say, iconic debut over in Impact at Slammiversary too. That appears to have been...
God, did you see that promo?
Yeah.
Although he could have at least winked because it was so crowbarred. Yeah, no, Impact's a bit of a hot mess. And I was like, oh, that's funny because it is and I know what you're doing. Oh, Slammiversary is going to be iconic. Yeah, I know what you're doing here. we're in Nashville, parkour country. No one else except you calls it that. You can't get away. You cannot get away with like sprinkling these phrases into a quote-unquote natural bit of dialogue. Yeah. Like, hot mess, iconic, right, okay, I know what you're doing. Mickey James was born here. What are you saying that for? Unless you're literally saying that she's going to come.
Yeah, it's trust me, Deonna, I'm not taking the looks down the lens, Mickey. Like, it's just ridiculous. By the way, I was reminded how old I am now because I saw, just referring to your thing about this, you know, giddy excitement, like you say, so excited to see fans back at SmackDown and at Money in the Bank. And obviously Dynamite was sensational this week as a result of the fans. Still that, it's not okay though, is it, with the Delta variant? And then I saw something in the news about like a huge pop star showing up to the White House to help Joe Biden do it. And then they said who it was, like Olivia Colman or something. And I went, who? What's this? What's going on? So I have no idea. It's not Olivia Colman. I'm fairly certain she was an Oscar-winning actress, but it's... something like that.
Great ad come out with.
Who cares? Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran or something like that. Anyway, let's talk about my tonight's SmackDown, though. And, well, a question actually we got asked on the news regarding who should come out first as a result of that. Who should get that fan reaction? The person who asked the news said, oh, could it be Vince? But I sense there's a more obvious and straightforward answer. What do you reckon?
Well, let's have a look at the docket. What's on, what's inside for tonight's show? We've got the Fatal 4-Way, which we'll get into. We've got the Women's Championship match. Got Roman, the Roman six-man tag.
Well, like you said, they're not going to break the wheel. So just because Roman Reigns is in action doesn't mean they couldn't start with a 20-minute opening promo.
I'd piss myself. Look, WWE has got this absolutely horrendous habit, right? And it was, oh, yes, this was great. It was a decent day on Twitter yesterday, and that God knows there aren't many of them. People go, why wasn't Darby Allin versus Ethan Page built throughout the show? Because they've been embroiled in a feud since literally the Dynamite after Revolution or 1 or 2 weeks after that. So they've been warring towards and beyond a pay-per-view cycle, the last chapter of which was heavily promoted via several different angles on TV, right? But just because there was no direct promo or anything, I mean, they told you it was coming. They had the graphic. You know it's coming because they've been putting on TV for the past two or three weeks. And people are going, I need to be reminded of that. Diamond, in fact, the goldfish. Did it have any bearings on that AEW number whatsoever? No, it did not. Right? However, WWE does this a lot. WWE, especially in recent years, has had this like demented habit of like announcing a match on social media or announcing it the week before, and then doing an angle to build to it as if they don't know it's happening or they think you don't know what's happening. Yeah. So honestly, I think, truthfully, I think a lot of people will be in a forgiving mood for this show. Oh, you might get a non-finish or you might not get something groundbreaking, but noise, the lack of a total dystopia will help this enormously. And if Roman comes out, he deserves a reaction. He has been holding this show down. He might even come out first and remind each and every one of you that he's done precisely that. And you know what? I wouldn't mind a Roman. I'm really actually fascinated in seeing how they handle the Roman Reigns character in the live context. I'm not hugely reassured that it's going to work, but that might be, Will Bourne. Another podcast for another day.
Yeah, like you say, I'm intrigued. Obviously, we saw the reaction he and Edge and Brian obviously got at WrestleMania. How he's received outside of a match contest is going to be really interesting because I'm hoping that what we'll see is people acknowledging the fact that he's just nailed this character and really, like you say, just reinventing himself brilliantly over the past year or so. And so kind of akin to MJF in AEW, for example, people go like, you're brilliant in this and I love you for it, but you're a heel, therefore I should receive you as such. And they boo and they, you know, they chant you suck or whatever it may be. We'll get to the match and the result of him and the Usos taking on Edge of the Mysterios in due course. Let's talk about another headline match, though, as we head towards SmackDown tonight. And that is the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bayley has just gone in for ACL surgery. Obviously, wish her well in her recovery. She was replaced by Carmella. This feels like a straightforward victory for Bianca Belair, right?
One would hope. However, Vince McMahon has got this like mean-spirited and yet not mean-spirited enough. If you catch my meaning, I will develop that thought imminently. Fascination with heat, annoying people. We see it with like the local guy losing in their hometown with the idea of, oh, I'll get riled, that'll rile them up. They can buy a ticket for the next show with this pal. And then there's no continuity, so they never get like the triumphant win back. What is the very first match WWE promoted at WrestleMania 37? Was Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, and your babyface did not go over. And that's fine if it's the plan, but surely, like, you should have put Seth and Cesaro on first. Like, you got your babyface, who's decided really intelligently over years and years and years to withhold doing that absolutely unbelievable UFO spot. And he beat Seth Rollins, Everyone's in a jubilant mood and they're happy to go on the journey, whether they get the result they want or don't or whatever. Vince McMahon likes heat. Not like good heat, where people get busted open or people get brutalized and you really sympathize with the baby face and you are with them every step of the big comeback across a cycle of episodic TV. He likes shock, mean-spirited, almost for the sake of it, heat. I can honestly see a title switch coming. In fact, I would bet money on it. I would bet money on a title switch coming. Maybe with the idea of Arthur Chase will be better in front of fans. But I can honestly see them doing it just because I know what Vince is like.
Well, not to tip my hand when it comes to our forthcoming Money in the Bank preview podcast, got Wrestle Culture this afternoon and tomorrow, me and Hamlet will do an extended preview of the show. But I think Bianca Belair retains because of who I think, and we've seen mixed reports on this, is going to be the final Money in the Bank entrant in the women's match. From the SmackDown side of things, of course, we've got Zelina Vega, we've got Natalya making up the numbers, and we've got Liv Morgan, who's moaned her way into the match. There's one spot left.
There isn't.
Isn't there?
There isn't. Oh, I can't wait for you to guess who it is, because they confirmed it on socials last night, man, overnight. Oh, but there was so much news with the Goldberg and the Becky Lynch rumors that it mustn't have got much traction. But the eighth entrant, don't look, do not look, do not look.
I'm not looking.
The eighth entrant has been confirmed. I would like you to guess who that person is.
Well, I thought it was going to be, well, I was hoping it was going to be Sonya Deville. I'd heard
not happening. At least not happening yet.
Please tell me it's not Tamina.
It is. I'm not making it up. It's, in fact, I've actually seen the match graphic and it was from a WWE official Twitter account. I'm just going to Google Tamina Money. Yeah, Tamina added to WWE Money in the Bank ladder match.
I genuinely didn't see that. I did the news this morning. I was researching it and find that Goldberg's coming, Becky Lynch is going to be at Money in the Bank.
How could you forget?
I'm just certain in our preview tomorrow. I think I'd pick Sonya Deville to win the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Alpha.
Wilborn, think of all the clicks that you've lost this company by neglecting to do your research and find out that Tamina's been added to this match.
Oh.
There's a talking point gone as well, but yeah. I probably should have mentioned this before, but I didn't want to. I want this to happen. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? We probably shouldn't be nasty. Tamina's hardly inspiring. Let's be nice twice. Tamina got a big reaction at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
She did. And maybe the plan was for Sonya Deville to return to action. But if anyone has got a goddamn right to be hesitant about getting profiled more heavily on WWE TV, given the absolutely horrendous experience she had last year, it's Sonya Deville. So we're in a forgiving mood, as we said. We'll be nice, Wilborn. Let's be nice. Be nice to Tamina.
Honestly, I can't just ruin my day. not because of Tamina. Stop grassing me up on Twitter. Because I was so excited. It's also ruined half the podcast we've recorded already. But also,
well, I'm not going to do it. So just put it out.
Yeah. Well, I did prelude it with. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. Things can change. But my word. Oh, well, I was going to say, yeah, Bianca Belair is going to retain because Sonya Deville's going to get the briefcase. I don't think Tamina's going to get the briefcase. So it's definitely going to be Little Miss Bliss, isn't it, Alpha? genuinely like, oh it's kind of ruined my day, that has.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's move on. Let's look ahead to Money in the Bank. We've been doing some actual research regarding the men's side of things, Michael Sidgwick, and the fact we're getting a fatal four-way match tonight. Big E, Nakamura, Rollins and Owens. We haven't had the spot yet, and it's either that or the bit where they all stand on the top of ladders. That spot where someone climbs up and grabs a briefcase if they need to like rehearse what they're going to do on Sunday night.
Yeah, like symbolism, which is not in fact symbolism. It's an instruction to his idiot fans. And Vince McMahon thinks all of them are idiots. I'm not doing a mutants bit because I'm over it. You will probably see some kind of visual deal. In fact, the show will probably start. Oh, the briefcases are hovering. I don't know why. Can't win out. So what's the point? But yeah, look, that's the snarky side. We probably will see something like that. I remember, like, was it in 2017? When the New Day Pancakes thing was happening, The Miz on SmackDown, well before the actual match was happening, before the briefcase had anything inside of it or whatever, The Miz grabbed the briefcase. He was absolutely happier than a pig in shit. I've got the briefcase. I've got the briefcase. This means I might win it. You haven't won anything. And he opened the briefcase and it had pancakes in it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I can't believe this has got pancakes in it. I said, like, what did he exit? I've got a contract in it either, you stupid twat. The match is on Sunday. So, right, all of this, WWE pisses me off. But this is non-dystopia WWE. So let's analyze the prospective quality of the match. I think it will be a lot of fun. It's the sort of thing that if I saw these guys in this sort of match in the Thunderdome, when I've seen several interactions in and around all four of them, I'd be like, right, okay, well, you can get 3 1/4 star work, worked in a certain gear, and the result doesn't mean anything because whoever gets momentum is probably not going to win, but there's going to be a sold-out capacity crowd there. And I hope that capacity crowd, and I think they will be thunderous. I genuinely think they will be really, really loud. Like, I know they weren't before the pandemic, but like everything's changed now. I would like them to really, really get behind Big E just as a proper, undeniable, come on, everyone loves him. He's so talented. He's so skilled at so many different things. Let's send a message. I hope a message is sent on Big E's behalf. Nakamura might put his working boots on for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't for like 4 years, but you know, he might just get energized into doing it. Rollins is Rollins. He's inconsistent for me, but again, it's night one. It's night one. He was great at Mania, to be fair, so I'm expecting a lot out of him. And Kevin Owens has been one of the low-key stars of this pandemic. I think Drew McIntyre gets a lot of the plaudits. Riddle does. So Drew does. Sheamus, Riddle, they get a lot of plaudits.
Bailey,
Sasha, Roman for his character work. Like, those are the people you think about most. But like, Kevin Owens has been working like his arse off, yeah, like a lot. So there'll be no different here. And I just hope this is like a reasonably like logical, half thought out deal where they decided this is what they'd be doing, right? Whether there's a pandemic happening or not, before, during, after. Oh, let's just put four of the lads in the Money in the Bank match in a nothing match. That doesn't mean anything because the real stakes happening on Sunday. Like, this is a bit of a... If you're a WWE fan who still cares and you're not totally brainwashed and you are discerning in some way, the fact that they're doing this type of match on the first night back, I'd be like worried. It's so tropey. It's so something they would do. And realistically, you kind of want people to be like... But it's not what that company is. It's optimistic to suggest otherwise. But the match will be very, very fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a surprising amount of baby faces in the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. And I think this would have been a tag match had they had more than one heel knocking about, basically. But like you say, I think this is going to be one of those ones where everyone is going to be just so excited to be performing in front of crowds. And yes, they know they want to, you know, not go full, you know, top gear for this because they've got big stuff, no doubt, planned for Sunday. And it's going to be, oh, it's going to be a sore old Monday morning in everyone's household off the back of these ladder matches. But I think you can already see the finish to this playing out, like you say, just
mad back and forth action with everyone hitting huge moves, maybe some ladder stuff, who knows? And then everyone hits a finish.
Perfectly legal, Cole.
Yeah.
And, fatal four-way. So it's perfectly legal, Cole.
And I think Rollins gets the victory. I think you're going to get a title retention from Bianca Belair to give that fans that happy moment. I think, not to spoil our prediction for the main event, but I think Edge will get the pinfall victory to send everyone like, oh, what if this happens on Sunday sort of thing in the main event. So they're just going to balance it out. And also, I don't think Rollins is winning Money in the Bank for obvious reasons surrounding him and Edge and blah, 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 blah. So I think they're going to have a moment with him looking like, oh, he's the most likely out of all of these because of the old, you know, classic way of
yeah, that's a well thought out explanation, Wilborn. And he's a heel as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Related to this, a man who failed in his qualification last week and has been featured prominently in a surreal storyline. And we've heard reports of a happy version of his character potentially being in the works. I haven't really had a chance to speak to you in great detail about what you think of Sad Corbin and whether or not things can get any worse for him this week. He's been talking about losing loads of his money. He lost his crown, obviously. He had his car repossessed and then bought at auction, I think, by Kingsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. I think his house was potentially foreclosed or repossessed, whatever it's called. So can things get any worse for him tonight? I'm trying to work out how they can bully him anymore.
I have talked about this on the SmackDown review, so I don't want to talk about it too much because it bores me tits off. But I'm up for any kind of stupid WWE stuff, provided it's not against the backdrop of the Thunderdome. He's near enough his wit's end. We know the trademark is lurking over everything. Like, why not reveal it in front of fans? This company has put over my investment emotionally when I used to care about it. Ritually insult my intelligence during this era where I just get paid to write about it and would not watch it otherwise. Like, I'm begging a little part of me, the worst part of me, is begging for a tiny little disaster just to spoil the party for these WWE shows. A little bit. Justice. It would serve them right. So if they debuted Happy Corbin tonight and everyone just thinks it's the lamest stuff ever, it'd be funny. So let's just put on a little copy thing on Twitter. Happy Corbin debuts? And then boom. Boom.
I think they're still, in Vince's eyes at the very least, there's still a lot more juice in this fruit. It's not something, like you say, that makes babyface come off well, but it's what he thinks people would do in that situation. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head. He is trying to flog some of his gear outside the arena because his name's not down, so he has to buy a ticket to get in, but he's got no money or something like that.
Wilborn, you are completely right. I am wrong. I've forgotten in my really quite petty glee about the prospect of WWE, something that doesn't go over in front of fans on the first televised show back. I've forgotten Vince McMahon's favourite song. Na 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 na. Hey! He loves doing that. He absolutely loves doing that. So they'll probably, before unveiling Happy Corbin, they will try and concoct some kind of scenario that will convince fans to sing that to Corbin, where he might lose an impromptu match or something in a minute, in about 10 seconds, get rolled up, and like Vince McMahon in Gorilla with a Jack Nicholson anger management face, willing these people to sing his favorite little song that is really cruel because he's an arsehole. So yeah, legitimately, I think they might do some kind of impromptu. He gets rolled up. Oh, you don't like Baron Corbin? Boo him. He's miserable. Boo him. And then after booing him, he retreats up the ramp. Sadly, looks around like, come on, sing the song. Sing the song. I'll get over if you sing this song.
I've worked it out, by the way, as you were talking then. That's spot on booking. And they probably put him like, he can't even beat someone as crap as Chad Gable or something. That's exactly what they did. But I've worked out what it is. In the meeting, I think my sources have told me that, yeah, they're going to build this to this Happy Corbin character. But in the midst of that, you know, he needs to needs to show ass a little bit. And how he does that is, and Vince goes, show ass, pal. Good idea. So what's going to happen is he is going to be in the shower and his clothes are going to be repossessed. So he's got his ass out on telly, baby. That's my prediction. Let us know yours on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And let's conclude with what we assume, I suppose, is going to be the main event. Obviously, the SmackDown Women's Championship probably should be there, but this is WWE. After all, who bloody knows? And it is Roman Reigns and Edge, to be fair. Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Edge and the Mysterios. How do you see this one going ahead of Sunday, Sige?
Look, what you'd want to do for two reasons is have Edge and the Mysterios stand tall because Roman's going over and you want to convey the idea that he is not, in fact, going over. So that's one reason why Edge and the Mysterios should win and Jimmy or Jey Uso can just take the fall because that would advance whatever this goddamn storyline I keep hearing is amazing. I don't even know what it is. I legitimately don't know what it is. I don't. But then Roman's just welcomed them back. Would a loss here allow Roman to be the best Roman? To what end? I've no idea, right? But a loss here, obviously not Roman, but Jimmy or Jey takes the fall. Would a loss here allow him to be the Roman that people really want to be next week on SmackDown once the formality at this point of the Edge match is finished with? In that, I mean, like, how could you do this? I literally welcomed you back into my arms on national television in front of the world, and you do that to me so you can manipulate them. And who's manipulating who? And I'm thinking, who cares? Also, fans are back. Do you want to give them a result that makes them happy?
Yeah.
In theory. And Roman Reigns was getting jeered in the correct spirit at last at WrestleMania 37. So for those two reasons, I think, yes, this should be good. I'm hoping the match will be good as well. I'm hoping that Roman will only enter the ring once Dominic's in there, like very cruelly. Like Edge and Rey Mysterio get the crowd hot because they're really popular and they're really great. And the Usos are really great. And they have like a pseudo tag match for 3 or 4 minutes, big opening shine, like almost house show style. Don't do heat. Just have Edge and Mysterio just beat them up. It's only one night. And then Dominic decides, I want to go. It's like, daddy. Tags in, then Roman, just without the awareness of Jimmy or Jey Uso, goes, right, I'm getting in, and murders him. Like, Roman, the whole bit, like, you can even do the thing, the fish hook thing that Roman Edge has been building this match to Dominic. Like, to be honest, this is the best thing happening in WWE, even though I don't think it's particularly great, capital G, because these are characters that people like. These are characters that have unique ways of conveying their characters. There's an actual semblance of continuity to everything they're doing with it. Therefore, it's one of those rare WWE matches that's quite easy to like fantasy book or preview or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I really like this storyline, but even I have issues with, wait, how's Edge going to use that bottom bit of a chair on Sunday? I'm fairly certain you're not allowed to use that.
I know.
Every week with Jey and Jimmy and obviously the callback to Roman at WrestleMania. And I'm sat there going, well, he could do it at WrestleMania because it was a triple threat. And he's done it the last few weeks because it's not a match. But who cares? It's going to be, like you say, it's going to be Roman maybe just saying, oh, bollocks to this, because he realises they've got both Usos, let's say, in position, double 619, Edge spears them both, and then just pins the legal one, like you say, to give some momentum to Edge as he heads towards Sunday and further develop the feud, which I think could be really good and could produce some absolutely jaw-dropping matches around the SmackDown tag titles, which the Usos are probably going to take off the Mysterios in due course. But like you say, they'll do the old Edge pins one of the Usos, like you say, the fallout, which will come in the next week's SmackDown. But also they'll crowbar some. Well, if that happens on Sunday and it's not an Uso, it's Roman Reigns, then Edge leaves as Universal Champion. Maybe they even have a shot of him lifting the Universal Championship up just for socials or whatever. But nevertheless, like you say, a really exciting episode of SmackDown to look forward to, not only because it's a go-home show ahead of a pay-per-view, but fans are back and will be around
let's just say for the time being, because forever is, I'm not sure. But let us know your thoughts. And if you knew the final Money in the Bank entrant and thought, I could do your job. You haven't done any of the sodding research, but that was a very enjoyable looking back spot, if slightly depressing ahead of Sunday. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Money in the Bank and ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Got Wrestle Culture and the Money in the Bank previews, etc. to come, already which one of which is slightly out of date, but we have fun with it anyway, so do listen to that on Saturday. Right, my thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. This has been the SmackDown preview, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.